This is June 17th, 2024. 30 years ago today, we had an incredible day of headlines and stories from around the country, sports related. We had Arnold Palmer playing in his final round of the U.S. Open. That was a big thing. It was going to be Arnie's last U.S. Open. I remember that like it was yesterday. That was enough. That was a big day for golf fans, sports fans.
He's just spraying it all over the course.
Yeah, he's trying to break 90.
Five putting.
You had the World Cup starting in the U.S. This was a big deal. The World Cup is in the U.S. We had a game here at the Cotton Bowl in Chicago. Oprah Winfrey was there along with Bill Clinton. I kind of remember that. You had the New York Rangers celebrating their 1994 Stanley Cup win. It was the first time they had skated the cup in forever.
54 years,
and they're going to have a ticker tape parade on Broadway. You had Game 5 of the NBA Finals between the Rockets and Knicks that night. So the same thing that we thought, wow, what if the Mavericks and Stars were both in the finals? Well, New York had that, and the Rangers ended up winning it. The Knicks did not. They fell to Houston. And then you had word that the investigation, we'd heard bits and pieces the two or three previous days that Nicole Brown Simpson had been murdered, the former wife of O.J. Simpson. A couple of days before, you had an investigation going on. You had O.J. himself being brought in for questioning. I remember when it first happened, I didn't think, you sometimes hear about the husband or the former husband in this case. When it first broke, I thought, oh my gosh, what just a terrible set of circumstances. Then you heard about Ron Goldman, then more and more details came out. All of a sudden he was a suspect.
And by Saturday you're hearing, okay, he's just going to turn himself in and just
yes,
let the legal process take hold.
Yes. And this is what we first heard that morning of June 17th when the story for O.J. started to take on a new definition.
The Los Angeles County District Attorney has just filed murder charges against Orenthal James O.J. Simpson in the murders of his ex-wife Nicole Brown Simpson and 25-year-old Ronald Coleman. Simpson was seen leaving his Brentwood estate by automobile a short time ago. He is expected to surrender to Los Angeles police for booking and arraignment.
The amount of media has grown. I think there is three times the media here now that there was 30 or 45 minutes ago. A media gauntlet. The latest information we have gotten is that he may come and he may not come.
This morning, detectives from the Los Angeles Police Department sought and obtained a warrant for the arrest of O.J. Simpson, charging him with the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Lyle Golden. Mr. Simpson was scheduled to surrender this morning to the Los Angeles Police Department. Initially, that was 11 o'clock. It then became 11:45. Mr. Simpson has not appeared. The Los Angeles Police Department right now is actively searching for Mr. Simpson.
You can hear the reaction of the press, and that's taken from the 30 for 30 documentary, June 17th, 1994, which is really well done by Brett Morgan. There's no narration. It's just clip after clip of that day, which all those events that we mentioned before are on there, but this one is the one that became the big story of the day.
I made my 10-year-old sit down and watch this whole thing with me again last night.
Just that's because, fascinating.
Because she's like, well, he killed those people, right? And I was like, yeah. I'm like, did he go to jail? Well, no, not really. There was a whole trial for like...
How do you explain that to a 10-year-old?
Yeah. So I've said, okay, just sit down and watch this. This is the start of that whole story.
Yeah. Okay, so you were 12 at the time?
I was 12, and I was in my room most of the day watching the U.S. Open and other sports, and I was following this news as well because this was a big topic we talked about the night before at dinner at some restaurant, and like, man, O.J.
did he do it?
Might have done this.
Really?
Yeah. Is he going to turn himself in? And then you have this story sort of blossom throughout the whole day. And by the time Rockets and Knicks rolled around, which that's that was building my whole day around that.
Oh, sure.
I was a little perturbed as young sports Sean, like, are you kidding me? Like, we're looking at a freeway right now. We got the third quarter going. Like,
what a conundrum for NBC.
Oh,
here,
I know.
Here this big story starts breaking. O.J. Simpson is not only about to, is not wanted, but they're searching for him. He didn't turn himself in. And so you got that developing story. So now you're NBC. You know that as the police chase starts about the time that the game starts.
And every network was already on this.
Yes.
I mean, we have
the
slow
speed
chase.
By the way, this is pre-Fox.
Happening.
So right. All you had were the three big networks. Mm-hmm. ABC and CBS are showing this. If you're NBC, what do you do? This is an early conversation with Bob Costas as to what to do.
All right. Is Brokaw going to send it to me? Why don't you have him not send it to me? There's no transition. I tried it. It sounds so callous. I think it has to be no choice but to proceed with the coverage of the game. And we will do that as we'll join Marv Albert and Matt Gukas after these messages. And you have to insert a commercial. You just got to, I don't know when you're going to come to me on camera. Yeah, but I've already said I'm Bob Costas. Let me go back. It's down to a best 2 out of 3 now. Before midnight tonight, somebody will move to the verge of a championship.
So, yeah, if you're NBC, what do? They decided to go to a split screen.
Yeah. I was not pleased with that as a 12-year-old.
And I remember at the time, this is also pre-HD.
Right.
And if you're trying to figure out what's in that screen, mm-hmm. it was terrible to watch it as a basketball fan. And we started watching that. Craig and I were at the Cotton Bowl, and we started hearing, hey, OJ, there's a chase for him, but it's slow speed.
And so you're at the World Cup match.
At the World Cup match at the Cotton Bowl, South Korea and Spain.
Huh.
And right after the game, we got to the nearest TV we could find to watch this unfold and watch the end of the basketball game. And then watch this, and then they ended up, this is Tom Brokaw and Bob Costas on the air at the same time.
Kelly, you're not going to do like an effect or anything, right?
Yeah, okay.
So when we come up, we'll be in double boxes, right?
Okay, that's cool, thank you.
You going to come to a single to start? All right. This is Bob Costas back at Madison Square Garden. The Knicks and the Rockets have reached halftime, but before we talk about basketball, let's return to Tom Brokaw for a report on the still-developing O.J. Simpson story. And here's Tom at our Manhattan studios. Tom?
Bob, we are witnessing tonight a modern tragedy and drama of Shakespearean proportion being played out live on television. And you can probably believe this, in our modern popular television culture, people are going to the freeway, parking their cars, and waving at O.J., we're told, as they drive by.
That was bizarre.
Pretty surreal. And you gotta understand, early 90s in
this
LA.
This sounds normal to us now, but back then, pre-internet, this was very strange.
And I'm sure a lot of people in Los Angeles at the time were kind of anti-cop, just because of the, you know, the riots and the Rodney King thing. So, yeah, you had people cheering for OJ to run, like they're making signs standing above the
Go OJ Go
the freeway.
Just like the
run
commercial.
Juice Run.
Yes. Yeah, and
insane.
And the Go OJ Go was from the Hertz commercial,
mm-hmm.
happens to be the same day that Arnold Palmer is playing his last round of the U.S. Open. They used to do commercials together. The whole thing was just bizarre that all this was going on at the same time, and then that took center stage. And, yeah, like in today's world with social media and the way things go, you know, just like in a split second across the world, I don't think this would seem normal to us, but like the whole scene on the freeway, to that point in my life, I'd never seen anything like that before.
Yeah, you had people running down neighborhood streets to go get a look at
and
the
It looked like there were thousands of people,
yes.
Not just hundreds. I mean, just miles and miles of freeway in a slow speed chase. I remember wondering at the time, why don't they just, you know, cut in front of him and pull him over?
Well, he had a gun trained to his head. And that's the thing that's wild about.
That was the creepiest detail to me when they say apparently, OJ
yes.
is apparently in the back seat with a gun to his head.
And they played a lot of the
fake
audio.
Beard.
The audio of him talking to the I guess the negotiator on the other 911 end.
911 person, yeah.
None of that evidence was admissible in court?
No, it was admissible. They just did not. They didn't use it. The prosecution didn't.
Well, that seems like a mistake.
Yeah. Because
that was damning.
I thought it was ruled inadmissible by the judge.
See, I remembered it as they chose not to enter it because they felt like it was inconclusive.
Yeah. And little did we know.
Seemed pretty conclusive.
And I remember tuning in, too. I thought, okay, this is bizarre, but are we going to see someone commit suicide?
That's what I thought was going to happen.
Worldwide TV?
Remember when Robert Kardashian got up there and read the note before the high-speed chase?
Yes.
Or was it? Yeah, it was before. Yeah.
It was that morning, I want to say. Like they were pleading with OJ to, like, hey.
When he missed his turn-in time,
please,
and then Robert Kardashian gets up there looking all pained and reading that note. And apparently that morning, OJ was in Kim Kardashian's girlhood bedroom because she was just a kid then. And he was going to kill himself in there. And Robert Kardashian said, hey, man, please don't do this in my daughter's bedroom. So OJ went around to the side of the house and stood in the hedges with the gun up to his head. And he was going to do it out there.
Right by the pool.
Where Robert Kardashian could hose off the pool equipment.
Just get the power washer.
And
where you could thumb the end of the hose because he couldn't find the sprayer.
Bingo.
I got a thumbing in there.
It works, though.
Yeah, so bizarre. And then I said this is the night we all entered the clown world. Once this started, because the trial was insane, too, that was, and little did we know the trial that was ahead that would play out as such a drama. But maybe this was a sign. Now we switch to ABC News. And this is where,
oh yeah,
this is where Al Michaels has to break it to Peter Jennings that they had just been prank called by a Howard Stern fan.
We have on the phone with us as well Robert Higgins, who lives in the neighborhood and is on the ground and can see inside the van. Mr. Higgins.
How are you?
Just about as tense as you are, sir.
Oh, my Lord, this is quite the tensest.
What can you see?
Oh, what I'm looking at right now is I'm looking at the van, and I see OJ kind of slouching down, looking very, very upset. Now, looking here, he looked very upset. I don't know what he's going to be doing.
Can you see him doing anything specific? Is he merely sitting there?
He is just sitting around, you know, just looking like he'd be very nervous.
Can you hear anything, Mr. Higgins?
It's just too much commotion. I'd be in the back of a news van, so I can't really hear that good, but I can see it all. And I see OJ. I see OJ, man, and he looks scared. And I would be scared because there's cops all deep in this.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins.
And baba booey to y'all.
The driveway of OJ Simpson's home in Redwood. Clearly an effort being made to have him come out of the vehicle.
Peter, by the way, just for the record, this is Al Michaels. That was a totally farcical call. Lest anybody think that was somebody who was truly across the street. That was not. He said something in code at the end that's indicative of the mentioning of the name of a certain radio talk show host.
Okay, thanks, Al.
So he was not there.
All right, we have them on every coast. Thank you very much. Not the first time nor the last time will have been had.
How and Baba crazy Booey is that?
And that is the most callous.
Al Michaels had to explain Baba Booey to Peter Jennings.
Could you imagine we have something somewhat similar here in Dallas and we get a caller that just throws out a baby arm?
Yeah.
Or a
same kind of thing. Yeah, that is.
It's a pretty cool. That is a pretty cool.
Yeah.
You need to know that blood cannons are not part of the story.
The mention of Corby doo-dooing at the Masters, Peter, was indicative of a prank call.
A farcical call.
Farcical call.
Yeah, so it's worth going back and watching the madness of that day, June 17th, 1994. And we were talking about this. The Ticket went on the air. If you haven't noticed, we've been celebrating 30 years here on The Ticket. January 24th, 1994. A few months later, Jimmy Johnson leaves Dallas. About a month after that, the ballpark in Arlington opens. We had the baseball strike that year. We had OJ. Later, we have Nancy Kerrigan and Tonya Harding. All of that happening in 1994.
Wow.
It was bizarre. It's what a bizarre year that was.
Good year to start a radio station.
Yeah, I mean, it turns out it was the perfect time for us to start and start coming up with our own farcical characters and things like that. But, yeah, what a bizarre time that was. And this day was the most bizarre of them all.